I have a message for everyone who, like me, grew up with abuse and neglect. To fully become ourselves now, we can't let that traumatic past keep pressing us down so that we can conform and stay invisible and play small. Hey, it's Anna here, just taking a little pause to talk about getting help when you're having a rough time. There are a lot of things you can try, and one of them is online therapy through BetterHelp. BetterHelp's mission is to make therapy more affordable and more accessible, and those are very good things, because finding a therapist can be really hard. BetterHelp makes it easy to sign up and get matched with a therapist who meets your criteria. And when you click the special link that I'm going to give you, it not only helps this podcast, but it gets you 10% off your first month of therapy. So you can connect with a therapist, see what happens, and if anything feels like it's not a fit, which is common in therapy, you can easily switch to a new therapist at no additional cost. No stress about insurance or who's in your network or anything like that. So if you're struggling and you need to talk to a human, try BetterHelp. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/CCF. CCF stands for Crappy Childhood Fairy. That's BetterHelp.com/CCF. There's also a link in the episode description if you need it. That might be easier. Thanks for sponsoring us, BetterHelp. Now, back to the show. You had 100 reasons not to shine when you were younger. As a kid growing up with the dysfunction all around you, you may not have had the support or even the permission to be extraordinary, to be gifted, to be your unique and quirky self. Right now is the time when you get to decide whether you will rise up onto the path of real healing and become your full and real self, or whether you need to take the so-called easy path, which in the short run is easier because it doesn't take a lot of courage or effort. But it does require that you continue your self-suppression and that you tolerate the empty and depressed feeling that playing small always demands. That is the price you pay. I'm here to tell you from my own experience that recovering from the effects of trauma in my childhood, healing it is the easy road. It sounds scary and hard, but the hardest road of all is when you don't heal your past. When you don't find a way of calming those intense triggers, and you have to keep your life very tightly controlled and isolated, tiptoeing around all your own reactions. Well, why do you have to do that? Because you think that if you don't control it, life is going to break you. And I want to show you how to not break, how to open up a little at a time to experiences like friendships and romantic relationships and doing your best ever on a job and trying new things that used to be too triggering for you to take on. And I want to give you the real tools to make that possible for yourself, to get out of small and get into the big, beautiful life that you really want. So to stop instinctively protecting yourself, let's look at what's really going on when you play small. The first thing is, if you're like just about everybody with complex PTSD, people are triggering. And sometimes they're so triggering that you end up cutting them off and removing yourself from opportunities just because you're afraid of how you're going to feel when you put yourself out there a little bit. That feeling that rises up that you don't trust yourself to handle when you're triggered. And there's a little sequence that happens when you're triggered in your nervous system. And this includes your brain and your body and your emotions. And when I say triggered, I'm not talking about feelings necessary, not the way that some people use that word. I'm talking about a stimulus that activates dysregulation in your nervous system. And if you watch my videos, you know I talk about dysregulation a lot and how to get re-regulated. You might not even be aware that your nervous system is getting out of sync when people criticize you or yell at you, or you're in a frantic hurry, or a big noise goes off and it startles you. You don't even feel most of the aspects of dysregulation, but the part you can feel feels like discombobulation or numbness or being flustered. Your emotions might suddenly run really high when you're dysregulated, and you maybe always thought that it was just you. Maybe you're just a bad person and you felt ashamed for the way that you get under stress. That attack on yourself, by the way, can be even more dysregulating than the original trigger. So let's just say you're hanging out at work and somebody says something, you know, they praise somebody else where you should have gotten half the credit. That's a common trigger. Certainly used to get me, still could. Getting overlooked. So let's just take the work example. A trigger comes up. So cortisol surges in your bloodstream. Adrenaline starts flowing. You can feel it almost running down your arms. Does that happen to you? It's like you've been injected with a reaction. And your brain starts to dysregulate in the pattern that happens to people who went through abuse and neglect when they were kids. Reasoning goes down, emotions go up. And next thing you know, an emotional statement comes flying out of your mouth, completely unregulated, not a good idea. And whatever you blurted out causes damage on the job. This used to happen to me. I didn't know then what the cause was or why I would do something so self-sabotaging. You realize it later, right? But at the time, it feels necessary. It feels like you have to say this thing, the strong criticism or standing up for yourself, but it comes out too harshly. You can see other people kind of flinch when you say it. And then what happens? Oh, the shame, remorse, hiding, fear. And there were times when I would just say things, and the way I sounded when I said them, it made me afraid to ever speak up. And I learned to keep my mouth shut. I'd make small talk, but when I had a strong opinion or disagreed or needed to say something to defend myself, I just wouldn't. I'd keep my ideas to myself. I'd let things that were unfair or untrue just go by and not say anything. And I didn't do things like ask for a raise or make a case to my boss to let me try new things that I wanted to learn. And all of this was because I was in the habit of fearing how intense I would get when I expressed myself, especially when the stakes were high or when there were some hurt feelings buried inside the reason I was asking to be recognized. I now know this silence in crucial moments is normal for people with complex PTSD. And if you went through abuse and neglect as a kid, it's a normal reaction when you're stressed to get a little dysregulated when you speak up. It's a trigger, really. Speaking up courageously, if it comes out with a bit of an edge, like a little angry or a little bit weepy in the throat, what you can do is learn to stay more regulated in those situations. And you will have awkward moments in your life, and sometimes you might have to apologize for your tone of voice. It's part of it. But all of that is a tiny price to pay when you compare it to avoiding the problem altogether by withdrawing from your life and saying nothing. So that's a form of playing small. Now, a second way that you might be playing small is staying stuck in blame. And I first just want to say, the people who abused you are in fact to blame for what they did to you. It's not your fault. And it's good that you're healing from any idea that you may have internalized that it was your fault, that you caused this somehow or you deserved it. The people who hurt you, they are to blame for hurting you. There's just no question there. But right now, they can't do anything about the past. And it's rare that abusers even try. But remember, even if they admitted everything and did everything they couldn't do anything about the past. The damage has been done. Your brain has sustained that injury of abuse and neglect. Now it's you who needs to start healing that. And it's you who's been suffering from having a dysregulated nervous system for so much of your life. And it's been affecting your behavior and your choices. So now it's you who can heal that and start to change how this plays out from now on. When you believe that the problem that needs solving is the past, you give away all your power trying to change something that cannot be changed by its nature. The people who hurt you can't change the past, and you can't change the past. And that is why I encourage you to take your focus off the people who hurt you, even though they are to blame. You can step away from focusing on them. Not because they didn't hurt you, but because you need to get that power back into yourself so that you can start using all that energy for changing your life right now. For noticing where you see CPTSD is affecting you and figuring out a strategy for how you can work around it and still succeed at the things that you are trying to do. Now, third thing that might be a factor in you playing small is that you've grown too foggy mentally and cognitively to take action on things, even when you know the right thing to do. This is also common for people who went through abuse and neglect as kids, by the way. That brain fog is something that people so often blame themselves for. So you might be attacking yourself with the idea that you're stupid or lazy or you have ADHD. And actually, that might not be true. Even if you were diagnosed with it, it might not be true. Some clinical experts I trust say that sometimes ADHD is a misdiagnosis of what is really a symptom of complex PTSD. Not always, but it's worth noting. You can ask a professional about that if you think it applies to you. So when you're making a plan to improve your life, but then when you take action, that brain fog comes and settles down on you, it can feel like you're walking through thick glop. I've called it honey and sand, you know, mixed up, you know, if you've got your feet caught in that, or it's like sticky mud. Something thick and awful that slows you down and wears you out. And when you're feeling stuck like that, it can be really hard to see clearly and move forward. And sometimes just following through on a series of items on a list just feels like so much to do. And then you get one thing done and then, oops, off into the fog you go again. We all know what that's like. It's a CPTSD thing. And in fact, it's a dysregulation thing. And if you think that you might be struggling with dysregulation, you can take my quiz. That is one of the free tools that I give away. It's on the free tools page of my website. I believe it's linked down below, all the videos in the description section too. But luckily, there are a lot of workarounds that you can use to start improving your mental acuity. And one of them has to do with diet. And there are many ways that you can eat in a healthy manner, but it usually involves eating lightly, not eating too much sugar or high carbohydrate or fast carbohydrate, very processed food. People love to talk about what to eat and debate the best way, and there are many ways that you can do it, but you might want to try what happens if you just cut out sugar. Just cut it out for a couple days and see what happens to your ability to pay attention. There are a lot of things that you can do too. I teach a technique for writing and releasing fearful and resentful thoughts and feelings, which I consider to be the substance of trauma-driven thinking. And this, followed by meditation, is the most powerful thing that I've found to get my focus and my sense of calm inside back. These are the techniques I call the daily practice. And I talk about them in like every video I make. But there's a reason for that. It's the most important thing I ever did to heal my own complex PTSD, and it's worth a try. So it's a free course. I always have that link down below too in the description section or on my website on the free tools page. Check it out, crappychildhoodfairy.com. I've been doing these techniques now for 30 years, but before that time, when the trauma was really bad, I remember telling people, you know, I used to be really smart. And in the past, you know, before, I don't know, in my teens and 20s, I had always been sharp. I was a good writer. I was good at crossword puzzles and I got good grades in school. But the more adult trauma that happened, which is what tends to happen if you had childhood trauma, you know, you end up kind of getting re-traumatized. My CPTSD symptoms got worse. And then the more I felt like my intelligence was going down too. I asked the doctor if I could get checked for dementia. And that was when I was about 30. I had lost my ability to do math in my head and to write complicated ideas in a way that made sense to whoever was reading my work. And I'd lose my train of thought like all the time. I'd just lose it in the middle. Couldn't remember words or what was on my calendar. And this held back my confidence about trying for big goals in my life or, you know, raising my hand with, I have an idea. I wouldn't do it because I just didn't trust myself. The little things in my life had me constantly overwhelmed. But what happened is when I learned to re-regulate my brain and my emotions and my nervous system by using the writing and meditation techniques in the daily practice, I reckon that I recovered about 30 IQ points. I didn't measure, who knows, but I really changed. It was this tremendous boost in mental ability that showed up every day. And I now keep using the techniques to strengthen that level of inner calm and alert awareness. It's in that state that I have access to my natural intelligence and my best ideas. I was born with this intelligence and you were too. When your natural intelligence and awareness is suppressed and fogged out by trauma, it's a huge limitation on how far you can go in life. It's almost as if you have to play small. And everyone pays the price. We need you, right? We need you giving your best. You can't suppress yourself forever. It's not a solution, and in the end, the symptoms are going to leak out anyway. You need to heal the symptoms so that your calm and focused awareness can kind of be just the ground on which you stand. You need your intelligence back. It doesn't matter if you're in your 50s or your 60s or your 70s or 80s or 90s. There's more mental acuity available to you by learning to re-regulate when your dysregulation has been triggered. And this is something you can learn. Now, finally, another reason that you might be playing small is because you fear other people's disapproval. When you stop playing small, it sometimes means expressing yourself, even when it might mean stating ideas that not everybody approves of. That happens to me a lot. That was a process I had to go through in order to start Crappy Childhood Fairy. Now, back when I did in late 2016 was my very first blog post. But it didn't start. I didn't start getting criticism till maybe 2017, 2018. I was afraid people would say I had no right to tell other people what I was discovering about what worked. Now, I knew about CPTSD. I knew about dysregulation. It had been published in, you know, good books, reputable books, but hardly anybody knew about it yet. So I was on YouTube talking about it. It started out very safe, and I wrote a very safe and boring blog that nobody could object to, and nobody did, mostly because nobody bothered to read it. And also, you know, I used to work in public health. I used to write brochures, and my early blog posts sounded like one of those sappy posters on the wall at the dentist's office about happiness and motivation and stuff. So gradually I learned that the only thing that really made a difference in people's lives or made them want to read what I was saying or watch my videos was me telling the truth. I started talking about what it was like to be me, how I felt when I used to try to tell my problems to a therapist, and what it was like when I had a breakthrough. What caused that to happen? What did I have to stop doing? The truth about what my experience was is messy, and it's a little controversial, and I was always worried about getting canceled. But the blog led to the videos, and the videos ended up finding you. And here we are. I stopped playing small. I do, in fact, get nasty comments sometimes, exactly in the way I was afraid of. But so many good things have come along with, you know, putting myself out there, loving comments, kind support, you know, people writing to me about the positive effects they're experiencing, that it's totally worth it. It's a tiny price to pay, you know, getting a few nasty comments. Hate is a sign that you're saying something online. You know, sometimes people go, oh, it means you're saying something important. You can say anything online and you're going to get hate back. It's kind of icky like that. So I don't let it stop me. The work I share here has a life of its own. It's bigger than me now, and it's changing me for the better as a person. And I had to push it in the beginning, but now it carries me along like a river. I was made for this river, and the river was made for me. And I wake up each morning excited to keep swimming, to keep finding where it takes me. When you play small and you don't say anything that offends people, then you can't get in the river. When you begin to show up as your real self and become open about who you are and telling the truth about what you know and believe, you do take a risk. What helps make that an okay risk to take is when you also cultivate a loving heart, a commitment to be kind and fair and thoughtful as best you can about when and how you express yourself, and to show respect for other people and their right to disagree with you. Now, growing a sensitivity to others' feelings and their dignity will gain you a lot of leeway to express how you feel. Nobody likes a bully. Nobody likes a blowhard who spouts opinions but doesn't know what they're talking about, right? But you being kind and thoughtful and real is a powerful combination for opening up other people's hearts and minds. And this is where good things tend to start cropping up in your life and where you can make a difference. If you're in an environment where nobody speaks up, your self-expression will attract attention. Yes, there are risks, but it's not as big a risk as shutting yourself down and hiding. When you express yourself, you might even make it safe for other people to express themselves. Get ready. Everyone benefits when groups can remain open and in robust conversation about a mixture of points of view. That's very powerful and good and how it's meant to be. When you take your place among the people working to make the world better and kinder and more supportive for those who are still struggling, you're going to begin to feel the unmistakable feeling of happiness. Not speaking up keeps you bottled up in yourself, and this can block out trauma, sure, but it blocks out everything good too. Being yourself makes it possible to turn your focus outward, to feel connection to other people, to feel a sense of purpose. It's big. It's playing big. Your real self might come running out like a colt that hasn't found its legs, or like a little kid who gets really excited and cries sometimes. Have you ever seen the video? I think it's like in Switzerland, and in the springtime when the snow melts, they open the barn and all the little cows come out and they're just like jumping around, and you've never seen cows leap like that, but they're so happy to be out. If you had to suppress yourself as a kid, your development may have been delayed in some areas. And so yes, you might start out a little clumsy at times, but practice will make you smoother, and people may start relying on you. And this can be scary for a person with CPTSD. Responsibility. Maybe you're a people pleaser, or maybe too much responsibility was part of what hurt you when you were a kid, and you ended up with a big wall around you that prevents you from saying yes to responsibility. That can be a great coping strategy for a 12-year-old, but it's not a good way to live for a 30-year-old or a 40-year-old or a 50-year-old. It's time to say yes to your life with boundaries and to show up and start using your gifts. That feeling that life is passing you by, that feeling of emptiness, that's what it feels like when there's been too much avoidance and self-protection and not enough standing up to bring it, to bring your gifts into the world where they're desperately needed. Thank you so much for listening. If you love my content, think about joining my membership program. You can find out more information about that and all my courses and coaching programs in the episode description below or on my website, crappychildhoodfairy.com. If you're going through a hard time and you need online therapy, I encourage you to check out BetterHelp. They're easy and affordable, and they can connect you with someone you choose within a few days. And if you use this special URL, you not only help this channel, but you get 10% off your first month of therapy. So go to betterhelp.com/CCF, as in Crappy Childhood Fairy. That's betterhelp.com/CCF. And remember, healing is possible. People with childhood PTSD can have a wonderful life. Sometimes we just need a few workarounds. I'll see you next time.